the human being, if he has the knowledge, if he has the ilm, that another person is my enemy, or is against me, or is opposed to me, and the opposition, the enmity is very strong, then that person, he will try to save himself from the enemy or the opposition. And the stronger the opposition is, or stronger the enemy is, then obviously a person will try to be cautious and protect himself even more from that person. That, look, this person, he may deliver harm to me, and I need to protect myself and save myself. But such an enemy, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said is the worst enemy of mankind, and that is shaytan, Iblis. Allah ta'ala has said, aduwwum mubeen. He is the worst cursed friend, the cursed enemy of mankind. So how should we save ourselves from him? Now, it will be quite surprising. For example, if we know normally that this person's against me or he's my enemy, then you say, okay, maybe this is a wrong information that's been given to me. But here, this message is coming from Rabbi Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us directly, this is your enemy. And despite that, we are lazy and we ignore Allah ta'ala's warning, then how can we be saved? Think about it. That Allah ta'ala has said clearly, he is your biggest enemy. And what's his enmity? Shaytan. Look, the enemy of yours in the world, for example, he'll give, what can he do, worst case scenario? He'll give you some worldly loss. But Allah ta'ala has defined shaitan as the biggest enemy, the worst enemy, because he doesn't just give harm in this world, rather total, ongoing, continually, the hereafter, life forever, he will spoil that for us. He will say, I want to attack my enemy in such a way that this human being, I don't want him to even recover in the hereafter. So he is our permanent enemy. Permanently, because our permanent life in the hereafter, he has enmity with that. He doesn't really worry about loss of this world, that we lose out in this world economically, monetarily, etc. He wants us to lose out permanently in the hereafter. That's how big an enemy is. But that's what I want my enemies to realize, is shaitan. Shaitan says, I want my enemies to suffer in the hereafter. So obviously then he's a very severe enemy, that he will spoil our hereafter. And he has many tricks in his trade. Many tricks of the trade, of shaitan trade, to spoil people. That, let's say there's a person who's praying salah regularly, and he will take that person, the musalli, off track. Why? Because the musalli wasn't careful of shaitan. He didn't try to save himself. There are many examples like this in front of us. Many people who pray salah and they worship, and slowly, 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 they disappear. Off track. They're coming regularly doing dhikr with desire and passion, and they're doing work of deen and going tabligh and really sort of switched on, mashallah. You see many people like this. Slowly they decrease, they decelerate, going to reverse gear, they go. Because they didn't take heed of Allah Ta'ala's warning that shaitan is your permanent enemy. There's a brother here. If somebody can translate for him, he needs to understand in English what's being said. So if a person is not cautious, okay, fair enough, we're praying salah and we think we're worshipping, we're confident about ourselves, but we didn't trust or take heed of what Allah Ta'ala told us. Allah Ta'ala's warning. Allah Ta'ala says that shaitan has tricks and tactics. Now, for example, he won't disturb your fard worship. He'll use a very cunning techniques. You know, for example, if you want to bring somebody down from the heights, he won't come to the height and bring you down. Rather, he'll work the other way. Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, great sheikh, great scholar, wrote a beautiful point in his Malfuzat. And this is something to listen to. That the walis of Allah, like Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim, they demonstrated to us or showed us or told us the tricks of shaitan. So we need to understand, let's not take it easy that I'm sat in the masjid today, I'm doing dhikr and I'm praying salah. There's no guarantee tomorrow if I don't protect myself today. That, look, for example, if I don't put a good padlock on the door or a good lock system on the door, then a thief can come. Yeah, we say, oh no, there's no thieves in this area, there's no problem. Always the security experts say, lock your doors. Don't just close them, but lock them. We say, no, the children are playing outside. There's no thieves there, this is a safe area. I can leave the door ajar a bit. But many times people in this mode, They get deceived by the thief. They're taking it easy, relaxing, and the thief comes in upstairs, takes away everything. Security and safety first. Caution first. And this is the world, dunya. We do this, don't we? So let's talk about for the hereafter. Oh no, I'm doing dhikr and I'm pious and I'm cleaning myself. No, the enemy is always next to us in parallel. So look here, the sign of shaitan. Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Delwi Rahmatullah Alayh wrote a beautiful point with regards to shaitan's tricks and how he influences somebody. And my Hazrat, my Shaykh himself narrated this, and this is in the Malfuzat. And what did he say, Rahmatullah Alayh? He said that, look, shaitan plays the game. The game he plays is that he doesn't just come to your sort of icing on the cake worship. No, he comes to you the other way. So when you think, oh, this is a habit, I'm used to worshipping now, nothing can influence me. Let's see now, shaitan will come to your mustahib actions. And then you'll say, why are you doing mustahab? These are preferable, desirable actions. You don't need to do this, it's not compulsory. But that person, he wants to earn reward for good deeds. He's habitual in the mustahab practice. And then somebody will come along and try to take him off track. So shaitan will instill into somebody's mind to tell you, it's okay, you don't need to practice mustahab through your friends or other people. Oh, you don't have to practice this. It's not necessary. It's desirable. MashaAllah, you pray salah, you do so many other things, you pray tahajjud. You don't need to do mustahab. So then you start to leave the mustahab. So he stated, Rahmatullah, that when the person starts to leave mustahab, then what will happen? He will then go to the next step, which is to leave the sunnah actions. Then the door has opened for shaitan. As soon as you become weak on the mustahab, you take somebody and you tell him, demoralize him, you don't need to practice mustahab, then shaitan has opened the door and he comes into the house of actions. And what does he do? He goes to the next step. And he's got his methods. He knows what to do. So then he will advise that person, oh, it's okay, this is sunnah, ghayr muqadda, it's not regular practice, you don't have to do it, it's not necessary. And this person's regular, first he was in mustahab, he left the mustahab, then sunnah. For example, let's say you're late in doing something, you feel regret that you can't do the action in front of, but you don't leave that action, do you? Or let's say there's an event, you need to get somewhere, you get late, but you don't leave that event. Or you say, oh, it's salah time, I'll pray salah, it's okay, I don't need to pray this salah, let me go first. Because he thinks, oh, I'll pray the fard and that's enough for me. No. So don't consider this as a minor thing. This story goes to the end point. Remember this, what I'm saying. So, when he leaves Surah Ghayr Muqaddam, when Shaitan puts his feet onto Sayyidah Muqaddam, we leave that. And we think, oh, it's okay, I can read something, I don't have to read. And just with the Fard Niyah, that we think, oh, I just have to pray the Fard, I don't need to do anything. Why do I need to pray the Sunnahs? No, don't think like this, that this Ibadah, the Shaitan. Now, because mustahab, we think this is a minor, insignificant. What happens now? Then the door opens, it opens, and then the sunnah, we reject the sunnah. Because we leave sunnah muqaddah, then we start to leave sunnah actions. So first mustahab, then sunnah muqaddah, ghayr muqaddah, then sunnah muqaddah, then we start leaving the sunnah practice. Then shaitan is brave, he goes to the next step. When we start to discard and leave sunnah practices, then wajibat, the compulsory actions, shaitan attacks those, the wajibat, then the essential. Yes, so there are wajib in salah, there are wajib orders in our life, and all our whole life should be a reflection of mustahab. There's so many good deeds we could do in our life, so many good deeds from morning till evening. They have no link with fard or wajib. That's why Allah Ta'ala wants to give us a high level. Now, fard is an action. For example, if we practice the fard, Allah Ta'ala has ordered and He will give the rewards to us for the fard, and we'll get there. But Jannah is a vast place, and we need to earn Jannah through mustahab and nafil actions. In the hadith is stated, Allah Ta'ala says that the human being will observe nafil actions and get close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. What a beautiful point this is. Now, what happens is that shaitan, he starts from the, shaitan says, first mustahab, then the sunnah ghair muqaddah, then the sunnah, then he gets to the wajib actions of the human being and he stops that person practicing wajib. Then there's nothing left after that. Is it? Then he attacks the fard, then he makes a person do qada on the fard. And we see this today, that person starts to delay his fard, like his salah. That salah he used to pray with jama'ah, oh, it's okay, I'll pray at home, or I'll pray somewhere else. And he has yaqeen that I'm praying correctly. I don't need to bring congregation. Because shaitan has done his job. He's taken him to the akhirah and he's wiped away all of the previous deeds by making the person sin or do wrong now on this day. So he goes ultimately to the fard, the compulsory actions, and he attacks the person's fard actions to this extent that this continues. May Allah forgive, may Allah save us, may Allah protect us, may Allah bestow His mercy on us. But then shaitan reaches to the iman of a person, then he attacks the iman of that person. So that story that started from the top, and you see thousands of people, they start going backwards, they go backwards, and then they disappear off track. of the deen. So they take the emphasis out of their hearts. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha stated that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that small good deeds, don't consider them as insignificant and minor. Don't do that. Look, small deeds, so-called small deeds, we call them small. They're not small in fact. They are large, they're big actions. And keep on practicing them, and even mustahab. The mustahib, the desirable actions, we should do them. And don't consider a so-called small sin as small. Rather, it will take you far into the punishment of the hereafter. Oh, no, it's only a small thing. No, never say. Because shaitan, he also knocks on the door of sin. First, he removes the ability or our actions of good, and then he comes to our sins. And he knocks on the door and he encourages us to sin. So what's the point here that we need to see? The good deeds that we're practicing. Good deeds. A person thinks, so here's the solution now. The solution so that we don't get influenced by shaitan. Why does shaitan make us think that these deeds are good, the good deeds we're doing are insignificant? Why? Because when insan, for example, you're doing a good deed, you're giving somebody else water to drink, that's a good deed. Or I'm giving you a gift, that's a good deed. Or if there's an obstacle on the road, on the pavement, I remove it. There are many opportunities to do good deeds. So consider all good deed opportunities as the fadl of Allah, as the karam of Allah, as the mercy of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to earn a good deed. Yes, despite la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that nothing can we do. That, for example, when a person's doing a good deed, then totally he shouldn't think that he's doing it due to his own actions. No, straight away be grateful to Allah. That Allah, I'm doing a good deed, mustahab, sunnah, wajib, nafal. That Allah, you've given me the tawfiq, the ability to do this. And maybe due to this specific deed, I will be forgiven. And there are millions and millions of people who could not do this action today, Allah. But you gave me the ability, tawfiq, that I'm doing this action. That to see someone with a smile, say salam, to tell somebody the way, to go towards somebody, to help them, assist them. When I am doing this action or you are doing these actions, and remember, don't think, oh, this is just a habit, it's routine life. For example, you've told somebody the way, somebody was lost in their car, or somebody asked you a way, and he told us the way. For example, if I'm lost, what's my duty then at that time? That we should flash and recognize and acknowledge. We should think that Allah, this is your karam, that you've given me the tawfiq to do a good deed. And definitely you should think this in your mind, that somebody gives you way and you got past him with your car. Don't just say no. No, you should acknowledge and be grateful for that favor, that person. And rather, some people today, astaghfirullah, they swear. You give them way and they drive past and they're laughing or swearing, astaghfirullah. This should never be the case. Let's take another example. I've come to salah, you've come to salah. This is a massive mercy of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala steered our footsteps towards his home, the masjid. Or he steered our car towards his home, the masjid. So if we don't recognize this fact that it's Allah who's allowing us to do good deeds, if we don't recognize this, then we will lose out and we will maybe come off track. So there's a very good way, a good method, that any good deed we do every day, whenever we do good deeds, always with the fadl of Allah, with the mercy of Allah, we're smiling at somebody, or there are good deeds. For example, Allah Ta'ala says that even if you put a morsel of food into your wife's mouth, even that is sadaqah. Tell me, even that. So Allah Ta'ala has given us such solutions here, that to love somebody, to give love to a child, or to put a child next to you on your lap and you teach him La ilaha illallah, educate him. Let's say it's not your son or daughter, your nephew or niece or some other child, a child of a friend comes and the child is in your home, you put the child there next to you and say La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. You're teaching that child deen and you're making him or her a strong Muslim, and you're allowing the goodness to go into the heart. But when you are doing these deeds, any good deed, then you should remember, I should remember, we should remember, the kiram and katibin, the angels are recording these deeds in my book of deeds, and Allah Ta'ala has given me the tawfiq to do this. For example, somebody said, oh, can you do this for me, and you have, can you do me a favor, my friend, can you do this for me, can you help me, and you assist that person, and you fulfill that task that person needed help. You could say that I could have made an excuse, I could have stayed away from this, but no, Allah Ta'ala has allowed me to do this good action. So when you take this mustahib, this mustahab action, desirable action, and you say, Allah, I'm grateful to you, you allowed me to do this, then Allah is Kareem, Allah is Muhsin, Allah is merciful. How will Allah reject that his human being is recognizing that Allah Ta'ala allowed him to do this? Allah Ta'ala says, you stuck to this mustahab. Allah Ta'ala says, open the door of sunnah actions now for this person. So first you start from desirable actions, helping others, helping yourself, doing good deeds for others. So Allah Ta'ala opens the door for sunnah for you. Then you go to sunnah ghayr muaqqada, you practice that. Then you go to sunnah muaqqada, necessary sunnah. So the dunya is running away from deen and you are running towards the deeds that are necessary, because Allah Ta'ala opens the doors for you to do the deeds. Now think it. Allah Ta'ala says, ah, he's practicing with love and he's doing shukr as well and he's grateful, and he comes 5-10 minutes early and he tries that, he doesn't want to reject the deed, and he's raised that deed to the high stage. Allah says, I extend it. Then Allah Ta'ala says that he starts to love all of the sunnahs of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah instills that love into the heart. Then he carries on. So mustahab, then the nafil, then the sunnah mughair muqadda, sunnah muqadda. Then he does wajib. Then he comes to the fard actions. And then he does mujahada. Allah Ta'ala makes him make effort and he becomes a wali of Allah. And that's how a wali of Allah becomes. Today, if we see, Alhamdulillah, that if you have the tawfiq to do something good, for example, oh, I want to do a good deed, or shall I go to a wali of Allah or a pious person? If I say to you, and I say this with conviction, this is the hadith, according to the Quran hadith, that today, if you look back 3 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, if you look at your life at that time, from that time until the first time when you entered for dhikr in the majlis, and as you carried on, and today you look at your life and you're doing those actions, those amal, those deeds, that alhamdulillah, that time 5-6 years ago, if you were told to do that, you'd say, no. Oh, why are you telling me to do this? I can't do this. What will the world say? And you'd start to sweat from your forehead, and creases would come into your forehead. And oh, no, astaghfirullah, I can't do this. No, it's too difficult for me. Oh, it's okay, I'm okay, I'm fine. I don't need to practice extra. So those deeds that you're doing now, today, that you'd say, oh, it's too hard, how can I do this? No, it's too difficult, it's too hard. And today we do those actions. And if we say to you that don't do this, then you do grab that person's neck. Who are you to tell me don't do this action? Khabardar, how dare you? And now, because you've heightened your standard, you've raised your standards, because you continue to do good deeds, Allah Ta'ala made you stronger and took you more to his actions and worship and pray. So we should be so grateful that Allah Ta'ala has instilled into our hearts the go to this person, go to this majlis, or listen to this person. So coming to that majlis, we've been grateful. It wasn't fard, it wasn't compulsory, maybe it wasn't necessary. Except for example, you're sat here, but this time, this gathering of dhikr, at that time for us, the dhikr majlis was too hard. Oh, okay, I have to be pushed there. All right, I'll come sometime. Oh, let's see what's on offer here. It's not important. But today, the question doesn't arise. That person knows what dhikr is and he doesn't arrive to the majlis. For example, if shaitan tries to take you off track or tell you not to do it, then you'll have a feeling in your mind and in your heart that you're thinking of not going to the gathering, and you'll sweat. Oh, I missed it today. Next time, this is not going to happen. So if you don't feel remorse and regret for leaving good deeds, then consider shaitan has attacked me. He's working alongside me. He's trying to take me off track. And this sunnah action today I've left, oh, shaitan, he's got to my foundation of my deen. No way. How dare you, shaitan? From today, I will never leave these actions. And in this way, the insan, what does he get? He gets istiqamat, he gets steadfastness. So this is a very important point, that insan, how does he fall from the heights to the ground? Or rather, what we should be interested in, how do I get to the heights from the ground? For example, if you have to construct a tower block, or a masjid, or a building, it starts from a layer of bricks. And even beneath that, we have what? We have that the person, the builders, they dig. Where's that building come from? So when they dig, they put the foundations in, then they lay the bricks, and then eventually that building is erected. So if you take a good deed, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, that if you grab hold of a good deed, if Allah Ta'ala has given you the tawfiq, that's it. Don't leave that deed. Don't leave that, inshallah. That one deed will take you to Jannah, paradise. Subhanallah. Isn't this the case? No, I'm not going to leave it. Question doesn't arise, I leave good deeds. This is a great good deed. I was going somewhere, I sat in dhikr in the majlis, and I heard this hadith that the person who sits in dhikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him Jannah, paradise, and his sins will be forgiven. Oh, what a big hadith I've heard. Subhanallah. I've sat in the majlis in the dhikr of Allah, what happens? Allah Ta'ala forgives the sins, Allah Ta'ala elevates the status, and you get good deeds, and all day long, whatever you're doing, mashallah. But if I come to this gathering, I've worked all day long for the dunya, etc. But if I sit half an hour in the evening, and shaitan's trying to advise me to leave the gathering, no, I need to go to the gathering. And I come, I listen to the bayan, I do dhikr, Allah's given me this good deed today, I'm going to stay steadfast on this my whole life. Wherever the majlis is going to happen, be conducted, I'm going to sit there for half an hour, and see how shaitan takes me from this opportunity to do good deeds. No. So you come one day, And Allah Ta'ala has opened the door for you. Yeah? So the door's open. You come to the majlis, the gathering. Maybe you've not understood. You think, oh, I sat down, I listened, and then I left. Allah Ta'ala says, no. That you, for example, I gave you a big reward, a foolish person. Who gave you the tawfiq to come to my majlis? Who made your footsteps come to my home? Who sat you down in my home? And who instilled in your heart the feeling to come to my majlis? Allah Ta'ala says, I wanted that I give you the maqam of Jannah, high levels, but you weren't grateful. You left that gathering afterwards. Oh, I didn't like that. I don't think it's important. It's not good use of my time. So you're ungrateful. Allah said, you weren't grateful. You left my actions. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So remember this now, that we, in any time, in any position, there are two, three things that are essential for us. Number one, that in no way should we be lazy or negligent or allow shaitan to influence us or overwhelm us and make us lazy. No. Never. Never be lazy or unaware of the tricks of shaitan. He comes from the lower levels. He takes a person from the lower levels. You're a dhakir. You do dhikr of Allah every day. You wear the amama. And you're practicing sunnah. Leave this small deed. Just go to sleep today. No. If Allah Ta'ala has given you the tawfiq to pray tahajjud, the question doesn't arise now that you leave tahajjud. And as you get stronger, as Allah Ta'ala makes you stronger with a good deed, then Allah will start to give you great deeds as well. Great rewards as well at the same time. That how do I feel that, look, I said, 3, 4, 5 years ago, if you look at your life and analyze that, could you wake up, could you stay up in the night and pray, could you do this much dhikr, could you read Quran, could you come to all the majalis? This is Allah Ta'ala's supreme mercy, that on the first deed you had the opportunity, you stuck to that good deed. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll keep on giving you rewards, keep on giving you rewards. And as the rewards come, then stay firm on that action. Tahajjud salah. Today is danger now. The days will get longer, the nights will get shorter. So don't now fall prey to shaitan's attacks and his game. That tahajjud, you pray, makes you weaker, and then you leave tahajjud. No. Don't let that happen. Say, I'm not going to leave tahajjud. And then as the day gets longer, the nights get tighter, Allah Ta'ala said that as soon as Isha fard time finishes, tahajjud time starts. Yeah. So when the Isha, when the fard is complete, then the tahajjud time has started. So don't give shaitan a time. Okay, that's not the greatest time for the tahajjud, but the tahajjud time is there in the first third of the night. Then pray 2 rakah or 4 rakah tahajjud, end of story. That's it, you've prayed your tahajjud. Don't let shaitan, okay, don't wake up early in the morning if you can't. That even now, for example, after a couple of months, there'll be 2-3 hours left after Isha until Fajr. And for example, you can't open your eyes, you can't get up, it's difficult. But then why leave that action? Then pray tahajjud after Isha. 2 rakah, 4 rakah, make niyah for tahajjud, then you'll become a person who's tahajjud guzar, who prays tahajjud regularly. So don't leave the action. Because Rajab and after Rabj al-Shaban and these months are coming, Ramadan is coming, alhamdulillah. If Ramadan comes and we leave tahajjud, how unfortunate. And our dhikr routine in the night, we leave it because we're afraid we can't get them. 1 hour if the day extends, or 2 hours. We also know tactics how to cover shaitan's cunning attacks. For example, if you can't sleep on the bed, it's too comfortable, go and sleep somewhere else. Make it surah harder, firm ground, so you don't sleep too with the slumber. So for example, sleep a bit more in the day, in the afternoon, and make your sleep total hours the same. Keep it consistent, but don't let your deen be affected. How dare anybody leave tahajjud? How dare anybody leave dhikr? No, the days are longer, nights are short. Allah Ta'ala's karam and hasan favor that we can be flexible. We can pray tahajjud after Isha. You have to pray Isha, isn't it? Pray tahajjud after Isha. And sleep a little bit in the afternoon to make up for the lost hours you can sleep in the night. It is Qiyamul Layl. Ask the ulama karam. This is Qiyamul Layl. The Qiyam in the night. After fard of Isha, 2 rakah, you can pray. And you can pray tahajjud. Ulama ikram have said that you can do this, the scholars. So this is an ease, a flexibility. Okay, fair enough. It is not the afdal time, the best time, for example, if you sleep and get up. This is not the condition for sure that you definitely have to sleep and get up. No. There's not a condition. It's good. If you can do that, it's good. And this is how the Prophet ﷺ, we read that he would stay up all night long, and the pious elders would stay up all night. They didn't sleep. They did ibadah all night long. So any person, there should be nobody from here or anywhere that doesn't pray tahajjud. Whoever prays Isha should pray tahajjud. Yes? So shaitan, don't be afraid of shaitan. Oh, he's going to attack me. I won't be able to get up for fajr. We are so weak. We are all weak. Remember this, that wherever you think that shaitan is weak and you're stronger, then shaitan, he will play cunning tricks to influence us. Because if I have trust in myself, I'll definitely get up. There's no way I'm not going to get up. Then there are 2-3 points there. Number one, that when we see that our base basic good deeds, shaitan is diminishing. He's making us feel in our hearts, this is not necessary, I don't have to practice this. Then straight away understand, he's speaking nonsense, he's trying to come into my life, into my worship. I will defend myself against you, O shaitan. So as you have more habit, praying salah, praying in congregation, and to fulfill the sunnah, to pray sunnah, and all the salah to come in the early time. These are all actions that we must do. Aha. And if, for example, you're leaving salah due to negligence, etc., but for this reason that you are forced to, or your heart, for example, you're weak, or I can't pray regularly, I'm not used to it, but that's okay, you will get stronger. But if there are genuine obstacles that you can't do something, there's an issue in the family, there's an illness or emergency, etc., things happen in daily life, then we should feel regret and remorse. Oh, I had to leave the sunnah. You feel remorse, not happy. Oh, don't say, oh, I left sunnah, it's okay, I can do that. No, after any good deed that you've left, feel in your heart extreme remorse and regret that I should not miss this deed. This deed shouldn't be left. And think yourself that one good deed, Allah Ta'ala is taking me to that maqam, that today, normal people, Muslims, if you tell them that you do this action, that person, he will not do this action. Say, no, I'm not going to do this sin. It's too difficult to me. Allah Ta'ala has given me the opportunity to do good deeds and erected my building of rewards, and I won't let this drop. But there is a chance always for the building to drop. The storm, the hurricane of shaitan can come at any time. So always defend yourself every second against shaitan. Be grateful that every second, whenever you get a good deed, then be grateful to Allah. Allah Rabbul Alameen, I'm so grateful that you give me the opportunity to do good deed, the ability to do good deed, because apart from this good deed, I could see nothing else, and I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to you. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.